Grace and peace to you from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. There are two different theologies that make up all of the world's religions. The first is the theology of glory. This theology looks for our glory in this life now. This is who we are by nature. All religions of the world come from a theology of glory. Theology of glory has even infected Christianity. It looks toward our outward circumstances to determine where we are with God. It looks to the outward things to figure out where is God's favor. It seeks to find God's hidden will. So how do we know? How do we know if God's favor is upon us? Well, in a theology of glory, when we look at the world and we see mass shootings in schools, we see Christians being killed for owning Bibles in North Korea, we see Christians being beheaded by Islamic terrorists in the Middle East, and we wonder, where is God and why is he not working? For surely if we had his favor, these things would not be happening. And so we look to place blame. It must be because we are not faithful enough. It must be because we don't pray hard enough. It must be because we are letting this country go to hell in a handbasket. There must be some reason that God is not showing us his favor. But again, this seeks to find the hidden will of God, those things of which we do not know and of which we cannot speak. Yet somehow a theology of glory believes that we are the ones who can overcome. We are the ones who are capable. We turn inward and look at our own strength. We turn toward the government to rid the evil of the world. We pretend as if through our own might we might stop suffering and sin. Because after all, we look to seek to build the kingdom of God with our own hands. We look to seek the peace that only God can give through our own efforts. We seek the glories of God and the glory of life in this present age. That is why the theology of glory seeks to escape suffering, because it believes that our best life is had now. Therefore, if we suffer, this is all we've got. This is all we look forward to. So we turn in on ourselves, trying to escape suffering, trying to escape discomfort. Because as we see the suffering in our world, a theology of glory can only lead us to despair. If God allows us to suffer, then that means we must not have his favor. And when this is our mentality, when we turn in on ourselves, it renders us unable to bear one another's burdens. During our training, I mentioned earlier that if we go into disaster zones and we're talking to people, that is our job, to be with people, to speak to them in this time of great despair, in time of sorrow, in time of suffering. And as such, a decent amount of our disaster response training was speaking of things not to say to people. It was speaking of not being a theologian of glory. They told us, when you go in and you talk to people who just suffered a fire, a tornado, a flood, any kind of disaster, do not go in and say, well, God's going to work through this. Do not go in and say, well, it could have been worse. Do not go in and try to explain away what happened. Don't go in and say, well, I understand, because all of those things that we say aren't really to help the person in need. They're meant to help us ease out of that discomfort we feel as we feel the suffering of another. Those words are just defenses of a theology of glory. But this is who we are by nature. We even see this in Scripture when we look, and Jesus is revealed as the Christ. The disciples confess him as the Christ. And so Jesus tells them plainly that he is going to be rejected by the religious leaders, that he is going to suffer and be killed. And Peter opens up his mouth the way that only Peter can do. He rebukes Jesus, telling him, "You are the Christ, the anointed one of God. Surely suffering is not for you, for you are the Lord's chosen one." Peter was speaking of a theology of glory. But Jesus rebukes Peter with the other kind of theology, the theology of the cross. He tells Peter, "You are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. You are turning in on yourself. You are wanting your best life now." But Jesus says, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life would lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul?" If we look for the glories of this life now, if we look and try to escape suffering, we will lose our lives. But the theology of the cross looks for the glory of the life to come. This is not who we are by nature, but who we are according to the Spirit. This is the true faith, the one and only faith of Jesus Christ, our Lord and God. A theology of the cross looks toward not the outward circumstances of our lives, but to the promises and word of God that he has revealed to us. A theology of the cross does not look toward the hidden will of God, but toward the revealed will of God. So how do you know if you have God's favor? Well, in our Old Testament reading, we see Father Abraham. Father Abraham is the one who is given the everlasting covenant, that God would make his descendants his own people and establish with them a covenant that will not end. Of course, we know reading the rest of the Old Testament and even the New Testament that Abraham was looked at as righteous, not because of what he did, but because he believed. He believed the promises of God. Last week, we saw God command him to go sacrifice his only son, Isaac. Sarah was barren. She could have no son, and God promised that Sarah would conceive and give birth to Isaac. From Abraham's perspective, the gift that God had given, he was now taking away. Go and kill your son. But Abraham believed that some way, somehow, God was still faithful. That the Lord gives and the Lord takes away, but He is good and He is almighty. And every good gift we have comes from Him. A theology of glory looks and sees that on our own we are incapable. No amount of laws passed is going to rid our world of sin. No amount of goodwill is going to get the evil off our backs. For we live in a fallen and broken world, and even we ourselves are corrupted to the very core. That is who we are by nature. So instead of looking at ourselves as the solution of the problem, a theology of the cross turns us outward. It looks toward the word and work of Christ. Because as Paul tells us in our epistle, that in our sin we were the enemies of God. We could rightfully look at every evil act in the world and see God's judgment upon us. For we were under His condemnation. That was until He revealed His will for us in His Son. That at the right time He sent Jesus Christ our Lord. And for our sake, He faced suffering. He faced even death. Though He was righteous and the only one who did not deserve death, He submitted to death in our place so that we could be reconciled to God our Father, so that we could look beyond the evil of this world. We could look beyond the sufferings of this world. For just as Jesus told the disciples, and Peter didn't hear because he was thinking as a theologian of glory, "I will be killed, but on the third day, I will rise." A theologian of the cross understands that through suffering, through crucifixion, comes resurrection. Through suffering comes the new life. We don't look at the sufferings as the end all of this world, but we look through our sufferings to life everlasting. For we trust the promises that God has given. We see the mass shootings. We see the Christians being beheaded over in the Middle East. We see Christians being killed for owning Bibles in North Korea. And we are not overcome with despair as theologians of glory. But we look and we see those who are being killed for their faith, rejoicing and praising God in the moment, for they know that suffering and death is not the last word. But the last words are, "You are forgiven." And when we look and we see Christ's own resurrection, we see that as the pledge and promise that we too will arise. For where Christ is, there we will be also. And so we don't seek to build the kingdom of God with our own hands. But we seek the kingdom of God as it comes to us, through the Spirit working in our lives, through the Spirit working in each other. Therefore, we embrace suffering because we know the best is yet to come. This renders us able to bear one another's burdens. We are able to stand in the discomfort. We're able to go into disaster zones and speak with people who have had their lives torn apart, not speaking as theologians of glory, but speaking as theologians of the cross. When they ask, "Why did God allow this to happen?" we have the joyful response of saying, "I don't know. But what I do know is that God Himself has sent me here to you, that you may know that even in the midst of your pain and suffering, God has not forgotten you. That even in the midst of your pain and suffering, Jesus loves you and stands with you. For He has given you the Holy Spirit, and He has given you me to help share your burden. That is who we are as theologians of the cross. That is who we are as Christians. So we embrace our suffering that we may be able to help others. Because even in the midst of our suffering, we have peace. We have joy. As Paul tells us, our sufferings produce endurance. Our endurance produces character. And our character produces hope. And that hope does not disappoint, because it looks forward to the day when Christ will return. But as we sit and endure our sufferings, even rejoice in them, we carry our own crosses. We live in our vocations that God has given to us in the world. We bear the crosses that come with being parents, with being children, with being brothers and sisters. We help our loved ones, our family, our friends, and even our enemies. For that is what Christ Himself has done, and that is what Christ calls you to do. We do so willingly, knowing that whoever is ashamed of Christ and of His words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when He comes in the glory of His Father with the holy angels. And why they didn't end with the last sentence in our reading today, I don't know. But this is the reason for our hope. Christ continues on, and He said to them, "Truly I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God after it has come with power." We endure the sufferings of this life, even rejoice in them, because we know even in the midst of our suffering, Christ is with us. And we look not to the suffering as the end, but as the means of the end, as we are joined together with Christ in our suffering, that we may bear in patience with others and show them God's own love, and let His glory be manifested among us as we bear our crosses and live. For while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by His life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have received reconciliation. Being a theologian of the cross is probably the hardest thing in the world, because by nature we don't embrace suffering. But as we do, we know that we are blessed, receiving the kingdom of God. But when we fail, the best thing about being a theologian of the cross is knowing that it is not up to us to make amends. For Christ has already suffered on the cross, and His blood covers us all. So that when we fail, we run to Him, we run to the cross, and we plead for mercy, knowing that in Christ, God has already forgiven. In His name, amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.